All right, guys. So glad to see you coming back. I'm especially excited about so many people who've continued to be faithful and come every Tuesday. I really think that's awesome, and I appreciate that. Let's go ahead. We're going to start on mute, but after I have prayer, I am going to start with a question. So you can get ready for that. I also know Tim had asked people to guess out of three facts that he shared about me on Instagram, which one was the lie. So think about that as well and see if you guessed correctly. And let's go ahead.
What are those three facts?
I will get into it. Let me pray, okay. And then we'll get right into it. All right, let's have prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we could be here together virtually and that we can just jump into Hebrews 3 and learn a little bit more about what you have in store for us in that chapter. I just ask that you help us to focus in this short time together, and just whatever burdens we're carrying in our hearts and minds, we just want to give them up to you, God. There's something in here for everyone, and we just want to ask that you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal that to each of us, even if that might be different things for different people. And help us to continue to know how to be a light to those in our lives who maybe are not on the call, but are still people that we want to reach out to. We love you so much, and we can't wait to see you soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the truth and lie situation. I think my three facts were, first off, I am a competitive figure skater. Second, I have a pet cat. And third, I have a sister. So put in the chat which one you think is the lie. I'm seeing two. I'm seeing figure skater, sister. I will confess, if you've been following me on social media, you have a leg up in this question. Cat. All right. So the true answers are, I actually really do compete figure skating when we're not in quarantine. That's a real thing I do. I do have a cat, which if you've been on my Instagram, you will see lots of stuff about him. And I do not have a younger sister or an older sister. I have no sisters. I have a younger brother. So that is my, see me in the Olympics. I wish. No, I definitely was a late to the game with skating, but I really enjoy it. It's great exercise. So thanks for participating in that. Hopefully that helped you learn a little bit more about me. We are going to jump into Hebrews 3 today. And before we say anything about the chapter, which I hope you guys were able to read it, but if not, that's okay. You can read it when we jump off the call. My question for you is, who is someone in your life that you look up to as a leader? So for example, when you're in a sticky situation, that's the first person you go to. And let's put an X in the chat if you want to come off mute and share just a little bit about the person that you look up to. Who is someone you look up to as a leader? Aw, Olivia, that's sweet. If you guys want to come off mute, just put an X in the chat. We're going to actually answer this one verbally. Go for it, April.
Okay.
Oh, that was me. I'm April. Sorry. I said I'm April's friend. So
that's fine. No problem.
I said it was me, but my bad. I wasn't used to being called April. Sorry. My broker, so I'm a real estate agent, and my broker has been really amazing through this whole situation. We are independent contractors, which for the first time we're actually considered in the CARES Act for unemployment. And so he has dedicated a whole team of people to basically all their job is to get his agents all of the support and programs and applications and everything that they could need during this time. So, you know, any unemployment, any PPC or PPP applications, he has been very active in like being visible and staying calm and being just conveying the message that, yes, this is weird times, but we're going to get through them. And this is how you're going to get through them.
Hmm.
And he is, although he's my broker, I know he's a very faithful man. And I can just, I knew that before this, but even in this virus situation, you can just tell he is very, very grounded in God, and his faith is really strong. And he just, I mean, he's here on the front lines. He just wants to help people and get the information out and make sure that we're helping people and not being annoying. We're actually being of value. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really awesome and amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like how you said that he's calm. I think something that makes a good leader is definitely being able to, in the midst of chaos, be like a calm, steady hand. So I really appreciate, thank you for sharing that. I'm gonna call on someone else. I'm actually gonna call on Olivia. Olivia, can you come off mute? I know you put your dad. I wanna hear more about that.
So it's a long story, but I'll make it short. So we moved to Canada from Moldova. It's a country in Europe. When I was 6, actually, and we moved with nothing. I remember, like, we literally ate off, like, cardboard boxes our dinner table. We literally got our, like, just slept on towels for our beds. Like, it was really rough, and to me, that was a huge step for my parents to move into a country where, like, they don't know anyone, they don't have anything, they left everything behind for us, and from that scratch, like, to where we are today, like, he owns, like, 3 businesses. Like, he has always pushed forward for everything for his family. So, to him, I look up to any decision I make, like, no matter what it is, like, I know that he'll give me the best advice just because of, like, looking of where we started, how we used to live, to where we are right now. And, like, God blessed us so much. But if it wasn't for my dad, like, he pushes so much to, like, basically, persevere, or, like,
just, like, yeah, persevere, yeah.
Go forward. He's, like, so motivating. He's the hardest working person I've ever, ever met. So, like, I just go to him with everything because I know that through his experiences I can get, like, he's been in the military, he's went into when we used to live back home, so he has so much experience in so many different things that I can't even, like, it's a long story, but anyways, to keep it short, he's, like, literally my hero.
Aw, wow, thank you for sharing, that's really incredible. And I think what I really heard you saying the most in there was, like, he's been through things, and so, you know, well, he made it through those things, so he can help me get through my things too. That's really powerful. Awesome. All right, Matthew, go ahead, share with us who your leader or person is that you look up to.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's so many I can look up to. The first ones I really look up to are my parents. I mean, I'm blessed to have amazing parents, raised in a Christian home. And whenever I'm, you know, really making a big life decision or need, you know, guidance, whatever it is, I always go to them. And also my pastor is another one. I mean, he's a spiritual father of mine. And whenever I have any, you know, whenever I have questions, particularly, you know, deep spiritual questions that I have, you know, I go to him also. I mean, and that's just a handful of them. I mean, I have a lot of people, but having godly parents and having them close to me, because I don't live too far from them, it's a blessing. And I hear people that they don't have that. So I'm very thankful for that. And as well to have a pastor who's my spiritual father and mentor as well. I'm very blessed for both of those leadership relationships that I have.
Yeah, and I like that word mentor. I think that it's something I learned before. I work now in sales, but before I worked in sales, I worked as a teacher for 2 years. And something I learned is, like, people actually enjoy accountability. Sometimes we'd act like we don't like it. And I think you know, depending on how we're receiving the accountability, we might not like it. But kids especially, they really like to have someone helping them, you know, stay on top of what their goals are and what the things are they're striving for. So I like that word mentor that you mentioned with your pastor and parents as well. Parents are certainly awesome. We hope they'd be awesome mentors. So thank you for sharing that. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and jump into some scripture. So as we're thinking about these people in our lives that are in leadership roles, we're also going to look in and see what this chapter is talking about, because this whole chapter is basically an argument, if you will, for why Jesus is the ultimate leader. Up until this point in time, I've talked about this a little bit on other nights, but the Jewish community, they were really struggling to accept that Jesus was truly as powerful and as amazing as he is. They were still clinging to people like Moses and Elijah and Abraham, and just some of the people in the history that they had always looked up until this point. But here in scripture, Hebrews 3 verse 3, we see a very interesting verse, and I'm going to read it. It says, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. And I know when I was reading this, this really stood out to me, because as you continue into verse 4, it actually goes on to say, God is the builder of everything. And so the qualities that you guys are sharing in these leaders that you look up to are really just mirrors. They're just reflections of God, because God is the person that made each of those people that you look up to. And I know that for me, I'm someone who was always raised in the church. So I kind of grew up, you know, thinking like, yeah, God, powerful, you know, he's a big deal, I get it. And I wrote it off a lot because I was so used to hearing it. And I think sometimes we also catch ourselves doing that. It's easier sometimes to trust those amazing people that are in our lives because we can see them and we can tangibly interact with them. And I think especially during a crisis like COVID-19, we can really want to cling to the things that are obvious. And sometimes we struggle to remember or to understand, is God really there for me? We question that. And so I think when we look at leaders, it's important to remember that we were made in the image of God. And the thing that is pulling you to that leader is the reflection of God, of Christ in their life. And I think this can even be true for people that are not necessarily Christian, because I believe whether you're a Christian or not, you were made in Christ's image. You're made in the image of God. And even if you don't recognize it, that's where some of those qualities come from. I had another question for you guys, and that would be, I talked about, I think last week, I asked you guys to start thinking about how to approach the people in your life who you might want to help accept Jesus. So I was curious to hear if anyone had given that some thought. How do you think, amid everything that's happening, we can shine light on Jesus to the people in our lives that maybe don't realize how real he is? So take a moment and then put an X in the chat when you want to share. Reggie, wow, Reggie did not even need his moment. He was like, I got you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that showing Christ's love to people during this time is actually the most effective way, because you can't do much else in this time. You're kind of restricted. And everyone is ready to be selfish and protective of themselves, but not necessarily selfless and do something for others during this time.
Yeah, love is obviously what Christ led with. And sometimes I think we overcomplicate things when we forget that. So I definitely agree with that. Thank you for sharing. I also saw Christopher. Christopher jumped right in there. Go for it.
Yes, I think that was a amazing like call to action, or something that you would make us think about, because this week I was doing a Bible study with one of my friends from back in New York, and she had friends who would be into like meditation and Buddhism and many different things, and not that I I'm against that, but I was very silent when it came to those topics. Because when we started studying the Bible, I didn't want to come off judgmental in any type of way. So I would just listen to her and pray. And I knew that based on all those influences that she had around her, it would only be the power of God that could help me while I was doing this Bible study. So today, like right before we started this call, we were talking about a few things, and she brought up baptism. She said, mm-hmm. Baptism is one of the things that a lot of people has may have questions about. And she asked, like, if I get baptized, do I have to go to church every week? And she had so many questions about baptism. And I asked her, I said, are you interested in getting baptized? She says, yes, but not right now, but I am. And I was just like, wow, that's only God. Like, only God can do that. And I think one of the most important approaches that we should not take for granted is prayer and how powerful God is when it comes to prayer. Because I was praying for her, and to hear that she wants to get baptized, it's like, wow. Like, when somebody who you're studying the Bible with starts that conversation with you, it just gives you so much like joy and hope where you're like, wow, this is actually working, you know?
Yeah, well, that's incredible. And thank you so much for sharing that. That's so encouraging, I think, to everyone, just to hear that you have a friend and like to have that kind of feedback. I think it's very intimidating to approach people because we don't know how they're going to take it. And like you mentioned, we don't want to come across the wrong way. I think sometimes people, you know, unfortunately, the approach can really throw people off. So I know how challenging that is, but I really love what you're doing and I'm so excited for you. And I definitely will keep that in my own personal prayer as you continue to work with her. That's amazing. Good for you. And that's a great segue into my next verse. So the second, really a third of the chapter, Hebrews 3, gives us a bit of a wake-up call. In my Bible, it's titled A Warning Against Unbelief. And it's important to understand that when God is giving the Jews like this kind of feedback, it really does come out of love. He's trying to wake them up. He's trying to reveal to them that the things they're holding on to, the people, Moses, Elijah, Isaac, the people they're cherishing and saying, no, I have to cling to this, I can't let it go, those are only a small piece of what he has available for them. So I want us to make sure that we're not taking this as a, it's easy to look at this in the wrong light. And so it's important for me to let you guys know, like, this is meant to be helpful for us. So I'm going to read it. Here in verse 8, it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. And that's so powerful. I think we also sometimes we see God work in our lives, but we question it so much. We second guess it. And here the Israelites are such a prominent example of that. For 40 years, they were seeing miracles. They were seeing manna. They were seeing fire. They saw the Egyptians get swallowed by the sea. You know, think about if you had witnessed that. You know, for us, we look at that and we say, oh, if I witnessed that, I'd be so good. I'd be so strong. But not necessarily, not necessarily. So many times we beg for signs, but we're so quick to forget. And so God is saying, you know, it's not really about me proving myself anymore. It gets to a point where I can only do so much. It becomes your choice. You have to be able to choose to say that this is what you believe. And so it goes on, verse 10, that is why I was angry with the generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger that they shall never enter my rest. And again, I think it's very important not to take this out of context. This is because those Israelites made the decision not to trust God. Everything about our relationship with God comes down to our choosing. And I think when we're approaching people amid any kind of crisis, whether it's COVID or something else, it's important for them to understand that we're not doing things to honor God because we have to. We're doing things to honor God because we've chosen to, because we're saying, I believe there is a God, and because I believe there is a God, I want to do my best that I can to understand and relate to him. I want to share with you kind of my perspective on the Bible. I know something else that I like talked about last week is just, I cannot push you enough. Like, if there's no other takeaway from what I do or what I share with you, it is to read the Bible for yourself. And I've spoken with a lot of people who say, oh, I want to read the Bible, but I don't feel qualified. The reality is no one is qualified to read the Bible, and yet God is asking us to read it anyway, because he will qualify you when you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to reveal the things in there that he's sharing with you. But the only way for you to get that qualification is to read it for yourself. I think right now I'm seeing a lot of amazing stuff available to us. There's so many sermons, there's so many resources, but I would really say don't spend so much time on sermons and so much time reading extra literature, even Ellen White, who I know we uphold a lot. Don't read more of that than your Bible. Make sure that you take the time to genuinely just get in the Word, and you'll be amazed at what God will show you and also what people He will bring in your life to help you understand. And again, I think I shared this last time, find me on social media and let me know if you have questions, not because I have the answers, but because I'm so passionate and so motivated about the Bible that I will pursue that answer, and I will pray with you, and we will work on finding that answer for you until we find it. So don't let the Bible intimidate you. I just really cannot push or stress that enough. So anyway, going back to what I was going to say. So when I started reading the Bible, I don't know if any of you have been through, looked at my book or my blog at all. You might have seen my testimony. But when I started reading the Bible, I was mad at God. And so I went to the Bible as a last ditch effort. My brother was in the hospital. We didn't know if he was going to live. The doctors had essentially told us that he was going to die. And being a good church girl, I took that really hard. I felt like I didn't deserve that. I felt like my family didn't deserve that. So I was very angry at God. And so I left church entirely. I stopped going, and I kind of did everything I knew I wasn't supposed to do. I was drinking, I was partying, I was messing around with guys. I was just in a lot of trash. And through it all, I couldn't shake the feeling that there was a God, even though I was trying. I really wanted to feel like there wasn't, but I couldn't shake it. And so I finally started reading the Bible for myself in that moment of, okay, if there is a God, the only way I can really know Him is if I read the actual book that we have that's about Him. I didn't trust churches. I didn't trust pastors. My dad's a pastor. I didn't trust anybody. And so I just went into the Bible and I read the entire Bible cover to cover in a year. And when I did that, it's very interesting to do that, especially from my perspective where I was so angry. But when I did that, I realized that we often look at the Bible and we think, well, the Bible is about Jesus. Or we think the Bible's about, you know, the Bible stories, Moses, Adam and Eve, Joshua, David and Goliath, Daniel and Lion's Den, all the things that you hear. When I read it cover to cover, I discovered that the main character of the Bible is actually God. God is the only character that is in every book, that is interacting, or there's something pertaining to Him in every story. Even though Jesus is very important, even though those other characters are extremely useful and they teach us a lot, the only character that we see all the time through the whole thing is God. This is actually God's diary. This is God's diary about how He made earth. And so when I thought of it that way, I kind of pictured, I'm very visual, so I kind of pictured God having a bookshelf of like all these different journals that He's kept. Because I believe that there's a lot of stuff that God has done and created that we just don't know about. So imagine He's got this bookshelf, He's got all these books, and this is one of them, okay? And then this one, this is the story of when He revealed to the universe what good and evil was. And so when you start to read the Bible as God's journal, you realize that when God is having these emotions, think about if you have anyone in your life who keeps a journal. Maybe you keep a journal. Maybe someone you know keeps a diary. When you see His emotion, you understand more where it's coming from, because this is His perspective. This is His story. And it helps you also realize that the entire thing is about how God created this perfect earth and it went wrong. And for the entire rest of this diary, He's trying to fix it. He's trying to alter it. He's trying to make it better than it was. And I mean, I think that He knew, I think it was intentional for it to go wrong. He knew it had to go wrong because we had to have this battle. And I think Ellen White talks about that. She talks about this cosmic battle where the angels themselves are witnessing what's going on. But this whole story is really about that. It's about His pursuing the earth once again And the beauty of that is that we are in there, and we have, I think a lot of people look at our situation on Earth as a curse, like, man, it sucks, like, the angels, all these other potential planets God made, they didn't have to do this. It's actually a blessing, and I think that's why in the Bible it says that we are the chosen people. We were chosen to go through this, and there's a lot hanging on that word chosen. Not only were we chosen, but we now have the choice. We get to choose our outcome in this situation. We can believe in this big story that's happening with God, or we can abandon it, and that's where faith comes in. So we have this beautiful picture, and I think just in closing, you know, I just want you to think about, you know, times when you've really invested in something, times when you've really made a big effort in something. I know a lot of you are younger, but sometimes I use the example of people who have kids. Imagine you have this perfect little baby, you know, that's your kid, your firstborn kid, and you love them so much, and like you just instantly know how much you have in store for them and all the things you want to get to know about them. And then that kid grows up and they want nothing to do with you. Or maybe for you guys, it would be a pet. Maybe you just got a cat or a dog, something that you really cherish, and you get that dog or that cat, and you're so excited, you have so many things you want to do with it, and it hates you, and it runs away, and it bites you, and it scratches you, and it wants nothing to do with you. That is what is happening in the earth right now when people are choosing to abandon the belief of God. I think deep down, we all kind of know that there's something greater than us. We see that in movies. We see that in superhero stories. It's so quick. We're so quick to get on board with that kind of storyline. And so deep down, people want to believe in this. They want to, but they're afraid. And that fear comes from, you know, I don't know, or there's a lot of misconceptions about God. And so I just really want to encourage you, as you are struggling maybe with your own faith, or as you're reaching out to people that are struggling, to think about some of that perspective. Think about getting them back in the Bible. Think about just how to make God feel relatable. I have to laugh because I think about, well, how do I make God relatable? And I realize, well, I don't really have to make God relatable because we're made in his image. So literally our process, our emotion, that comes from, that's a likeliness, a likeness of God. So just try to keep that in mind, as you're reading and as you're maybe wrestling with your own faith, that, you know, God loves you, and the more you read the Bible, I think the more that becomes evident to everybody. So that was my talk for today, and I hope somebody was touched or reached by that. And if there's questions, because I know that was a lot of stuff. So if you have questions, I'm just going to take a couple minutes. If you have any questions, you're welcome to put it in the chat, or put an X in the chat if you want to come off mute. Relevant. Yes, I love the word relevant. I think about that a lot. Another word I think about a lot is motivated. Your motivation is what's going to push you. How does God speak to you through the Bible? Ooh, that's a great question. Before I answer, I'd love to hear someone else's perspective. How does God speak to some of you through the Bible? Reggie, thank you. Go for it.
Well, for me, God speaks through imagery. Like, when I've read like some of the bigger, more artistic parts of the Bible, like Ezekiel and Job, they come off very cinematic, or even you might say comic booky. But whenever I hear that kind of language in the Bible, where it describes different things from the heavens to the angels to the chariots of fire and things like that, God uses those images to speak directly to me, because I can familiarize myself with other arts and other things that help me to see that, like trees, for example, or just a sunset, things like that. Imagery really speaks to me through the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. That's beautiful. Imagery, the imagery is strong in the Bible. There's a lot of very interesting descriptions there, and a lot of very interesting comparisons. That's what parables are. Parables are all about imagery, giving you something to think about. Anybody else? How does God speak to you through the Bible? Hmm. Maybe just one more person. Christopher. Oh, answering your own question. Go for it.
I was thinking about something that is so amazing about the Word of God. And like while you're talking, Melissa, you know, sometimes you may talk about a certain scripture or a certain topic, but the way God works is so beautiful because our minds, he's speaking to us about our current situation. Mm-hmm. Where sometimes you're just doing a Bible study and everybody's quiet and you might think like, what are they thinking? And that's when God is like speaking to all of us individually. Cause like just now when you were doing your study and you were giving your testimony, I could see myself listening in one part to your testimony, but actually relating everything you were saying kind of to myself, like, wow, she went through that. That's amazing. And that just shows you how God would speak through us through his word. Like mm-hmm. So a preacher could be preaching or somebody could be doing a study and all of us individually on this chat is being blessed in our own type of way. And that's what I think is beautiful about God.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Thank you for sharing. And I really appreciate your question because I think it's very common. People ask me all the time. People ask in general all the time, well, what do you mean God speaks to you? How do you like, is that a real voice or what is that? And I can relate to what you said a lot. I think for me, it's been thoughts. I think sometimes when you're listening to something, something just comes to mind. So I know for me, a struggle I always wrestle with is kind of understanding like my career and how my career can be not just a career, but a ministry. And so I remember I also do a lot of prayer journaling. So for me personally, because I'm a writer, it really helps me to write things down. And it's amazing to me when I start journaling in my prayer journal, like what comes to mind. Yeah, so the other day I was just praying a lot about stuff with my job and I was asking God, you know, like, what should I do or whatever? And the verse came to mind. I've been reading Matthew personally. The verse came to mind where Peter says, like, Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, yeah, of course I love you. And that whole little dialogue in my prayer when I was praying about God, like, what should I do in my job to be a witness? I just kept hearing that, like, Peter, do you love me? And of course, like, to me, it's like Melissa, but I kept hearing, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And so I think that some of it is kind of like, you just got to try it and experience it for yourself. But I will say this, God can't bring to mind what you haven't already exposed yourself to. So if you're not reading the Bible, if you're not listening to things, it's going to be, I shouldn't say he couldn't, he probably could, but it's going to be a lot more challenging. But the beauty is when you start reading the Bible, sometimes you are going to read it and it's going to be like, I don't really understand this. And you're going to be going about your day and you're going to be thinking about something. And all of a sudden it's going to click and you're going to be like, oh my goodness, that verse I read, this is what that was talking about. And I think we see that a lot, especially when we're reading, if you read the Old Testament and then you get into the New Testament later, you'll be reading something in the New Testament. You'll be like, oh my goodness, this is what that Old Testament Isaiah verse was talking about. So yeah, it's really amazing. It's not theatrical. It's not this big, like fire in the sky, you know, like prophetic dream necessarily. It's really low key for me. It's never been a big, bold thing. It's been very low key, but very powerful. And I think the more you spend time with God, the more you learn to tune into it. It reminds me of the Bible verse that talks about Jesus coming to Christ, God coming to us in a still small voice. That's really what my experience has been. Absolutely. Okay, Sunny, how much time do you recommend reading the Bible a day? Ooh, I like this. Good questions, guys. Anyone want to share? How much time are we supposed to read the Bible a day? Great question. Jasmine.
Okay. So I don't think that there is a specific like set time that us as Christians are supposed to read the Bible a day. And I feel like if you ask 10 people, you'll get 10 different answers. And I think it's all based on your relationship with God at that moment. And I feel like as long as you go in with the intention of opening up your heart to God and giving God the space and the Holy Spirit the space to also speak to you, then that time will be sufficient. Because I feel like you can spend an hour reading the Bible, but if you're only doing it to be like, oh, I got my hour in, like, oh, I just checked off the box, I was a good Christian today, then it doesn't really serve the purpose versus taking 10 minutes in the morning and really dedicating those 10 minutes to just praying or pondering on a verse or journaling, because I like to type out prayers on my laptop and that helps me focus, whatever it is, to really just feel like the time you spent was useful. So it's more the quality of time versus the quantity. But that's me.
Yeah, I love that. Also, that's Jasmine, my best friend. I totally referenced you the other, at the beginning of the call. I don't know if you were on, but there's someone in here who went to Oakwood for a time. And I was like, oh my gosh, do you guys know Jasmine? Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that's really good feedback. Is there anybody else who wants to share how much time they think we should read the Bible a day before I answer what I feel? Christopher, go for it.
I try to wait, like you try to wait.
No, share.
I was thinking about something. Well, I study theology, so it's kind of different for me. I believe that, you know, one thing that helped me in my life a lot is we should look at our perspective, where sometimes we look at it as, depending on what we're going through in our life, when should I schedule Bible time? Should I do it in the morning? Should I do it in the afternoon? Should I do it at night? Should I do it once every day? Should I do it once a week? Like, how should it work? And our whole life could change if we look at it from a different perspective, where we could say, how do I schedule life around Bible time? So you basically don't schedule Bible time around life. You schedule life around Bible time. So you can make a deal with God, where you can literally say to God, like, I don't know, I talk to God and I say, all right, let's make a deal. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to spend time with you. And I just ask for a blessing. And there was times when, like, you could just literally close your Bible like this, and I would say, all right, show me something. And I would open my Bible. And there's times when I would open it up to stories that was exactly what I was going through. So what I try to do now is schedule my life around Bible time. So find out what I have to do in the day. And if I have to do, like, 3-4 important things, I schedule those important things. And whenever I'm free, like, I read my Bible. So in between my breaks, and it doesn't mean I'm reading my Bible all day, but instead of doing things that kind of like are not so meaningful, I take my time to say, all right, I'm going to read a little in the morning. I'm going to read a little in the afternoon and before I go to sleep. And I believe that has helped me kind of constantly think about the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Instead of like struggling with certain things, I'm constantly feeding myself, and I'm like, it's a journey that has helped me. It may not work for other people, but for me, it has truly been a blessing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing a different perspective. I really like what you said about breaking it up. I think that's a really awesome tip, and a really great idea, especially now that we all have our phones. You can all get the Bible app on your phone, so you can literally have it with you anywhere you go. And that's very useful. I'm going to take one more on our question about the time, and then I'm going to jump in. I'm seeing some other questions. So Matthew, I saw you.
Yeah, it's more along the lines of not so much. I'll be real quick with it. It's listening to the Bible at night. At night as you sleep. That's what my parents have done for years, and that's something I've done as well. Listen to the Bible on audio. There's several ways you can do it. I mean, probably the most easiest way is just to use the Bible app audio. You just play the Bible as you sleep overnight. And that really helps. I've really noticed the spiritual, you know, growth with it. Just listening to it overnight, because your spirit's still absorbing it. And then, it makes your Bible study in the morning even better. So that's just a way to get the word in you as you're sleeping as well. So just food for thought.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I really like the audio version. My husband hates reading, so anything that like he can listen to is like the way he likes to do it. So that's really helpful for him. I think for me, and this was a question that I wrestled with pretty early on when I was starting to read through the Bible for myself back when I was going through what I was going through. Because I had always been raised in a very conservative household where like we were supposed to do like an hour, we're supposed to do it in the morning, and it was like somehow more meaningful if I got up at like 4:30 or 5 a.m. And I think for some people, sure, that's great, that works for them. I think when it comes to Bible reading, there's not really like a magic formula. I don't think it's like, oh, if I read an hour every day, I'm going to be assured clarity, or I'm going to be assured miracles, I'm going to be assured answered prayers. It's not quite like that. I think it's much more about your intention, which I saw somebody mention, being intentional. And also, I think just being open-minded and be honest with yourself. If you're going to sit down and force yourself to read it for an hour, with that whole hour, you're going to be thinking about, you know, your chore list or your homework or your something else that's going on in your life. You're not really getting in there. You're not really going to enjoy it the way God is intending you to enjoy it. So I really like, that's why I really enjoyed the idea of breaking it up. So for me, to be quite frank, it was 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes around lunchtime, and 5 minutes in the evening. So 15 minutes a day for me. That's how I started. And what the beautiful thing about it is when you get in there, truly, like, because you want to, not because anyone's forcing you, not because anyone's like making you, when you really choose to get in there for yourself, you're going to be in there for 5 minutes and you're going to want to stay. You're going to want to read more. You're going to catch yourself being like, oh wait, like I could probably do another 5 minutes. And so that's kind of what's happened to me. By now, about a year and a half later, since I really, or it's actually, wow, it's been longer. It's been like 2.5 years since I first started doing that. I have to actually stop myself because I will not get anything done. And this quarantine has been really bad for that. I read the entire book of Matthew in like 2 days. And I'm not saying that like, oh, I've, you know, read the whole book. I'm just telling you that from a very vulnerable, real place. Like I was just so into it that I wanted to get through it. And I'm reading through the Gospels right now. And so I'm like really pumped. I'm going to get off this call and I'm going to read Luke. So you'll get to that point. Don't rush it. Don't force it. Don't let anybody else tell you that you're less or more meaningful about it because you're doing it differently than them. God will take your mustard seed faith and your mustard seed effort and he will grow it. So that's the best thing I can say is just give what you have and let God like take that and do that. Someone is sharing their screen. I don't know who's sharing, but if you want to come off mute and share what you're sharing, that'd be awesome.
Please do not compare that to Mother Lord. If you do, do not comment on Zoom.
I'm sorry, is this Zoom bombing what they've been talking about on the news?
I don't know. Tim, are you still on the call?
Yeah.
Can you pull that person off, please?
Yes.
Sorry about that, guys. All right, let's jump back into our chat. What is the your favorite verse? What is your favorite verse of what book? Jason. What is my favorite book or what is my favorite Bible verse? You want to come off mute, Jason? Verse. Oh, man, that's so hard. I really love the entire chapter of Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 43. I like that whole chapter. I really like the whole book of Isaiah, but the 40s, like from 40 up to like 46 is really good. I especially like the verse that talks about going soaring on wings of eagles. That's really good. And then the whole chapter that talks about fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. So really anything in Isaiah in the 40s, I can't narrow it down. I just love those, all those chapters. Anybody else? We could close on that. Who wants to share your favorite Bible verse in the chat and why? Matthew 6. Matthew, why do you like Matthew 6?
I love Matthew 6, 25 through 34, because it talks about do not worry. That was a big verse. That section of passage in particular was really big for me in my teenage years, and I was really struggling with anxiety and social anxiety and depression. That was a big passage that really kind of got me through that. And whenever I'm going through a period where I'm really worried about what's going to happen particularly a situation like right now, you know, with what's going on now, it's just always just resonates with me. And if there's ever a moment where I'm worrying, that's kind of my first go-to. There's so many. I mean, it's so hard to just say, you know, what is your favorite verse? I think my favorite book is probably still Proverbs, but I mean, it's a toss up. I mean, Revelation's pretty good. Matthew's pretty good. God, there's just so much, but Matthew 6 for don't worry, have peace with God, and is my top one. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Sunny, Isaiah 1:18. Sunny, do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, the entire verse is very good. The part of the verse that I like is the one where it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And I have many favorite verses, but I really like this one in particular because a lot of people think of God as being incredibly irrational and demanding and arbitrary and capricious. And I think that this is one of those verses where God kind of says, if something doesn't make sense to you, come and talk to me about it. And so he's like not demanding unquestioning obedience. Instead, he's saying, I understand that sometimes things won't make sense and we can talk it out.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's great. And I think that's great to keep in mind also, just like in our own lives, like when we hit something that's like, I don't really understand this, to remember that. That's a great attitude to think about. Jason, 1 Peter 2:9 and 2 Peter as well. Do you want to come off mute, Jason? Okay, I'm gonna jump down just for the sake of time. Jason, if you jump in, just put an X in the chat and I'll jump back to you. Reggie, Jeremiah 29, I see iPhone on there. I'm not sure who that is, I'm so sorry. But you guys both put the verse, same verse, so I'm gonna jump to Reggie.
All right, so for me it's Jeremiah 29:11. When I first discovered that verse, that was the first time that it looked like God intentionally picked me out to speak to me and to my personal life. We get up in the macro of Christianity that as long as I sit in this pew every week, I'm going to be good. But Jeremiah 29:11 is talking about the good thoughts God has towards you and that he has a plan for your life. He has a future for you. That to me is God getting beyond the noise of the quote unquote religious or religiosity of Christianity and speaking to you personally that I got you. Don't worry about it. This is the time you're dealing with. It's hard, but you have a bright future and expect it in. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, and just stay on the course.
Yeah, absolutely. 29:11 is a great verse for that, and well-known verse, but so powerful. Yeah, I love that. All right, well, I know we're going long, but I really appreciate everybody's amazing feedback. I feel like we had a great discussion today. I'm sorry about the random interruption. I don't know what that was, but I have to say, I think it's kind of ironic. you know, anytime there's something good going on with God or any clarity being shed to anyone about the Bible, it's interesting how the devil tries to get involved. So I hope that this was enjoyable for you all. Let's go ahead and quickly do prayer requests in the chat, and then we will wrap up and go on our way. I know one prayer request while we're putting them in the chat for me is just finances for everybody. I think right now are pretty tight. Just so many people losing their jobs, so many people on furlough, unfortunately. So I've just been really thinking about that and feeling so grateful and blessed that I'm able to still have my job. But I want to definitely pray for the people who are not so fortunate. Tomorrow's devotional. Yeah, make sure that you guys jump on the call tomorrow and listen to Christopher lead. That's so exciting. Friend who recently went to New York City to help with the crisis. Okay. Yeah, definitely pray for them. Safety and finances for friend Sam. We will pray for Sam. Anybody else? All right, well, I'm gonna go ahead and close with prayer. And if you have any other final prayer requests or anything to drop in the chat, feel free to do so. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us through this study together. Thank you for allowing us to just take a moment to appreciate everything that you've provided for us in the Bible. Please just be with us in a special way as we continue to jump into your word and try to understand and seek out the answers for the things that we're facing in our lives. And help us to just get to know you better and better, especially through everything that's happening with COVID and whatever other crisis we might be facing. Help us to always rely on you. We just want to pray for the people in our lives who are interacting with us, who are going to try and reach out to, even if that just means being a better friend or a better sibling or a better daughter or son. God, whatever that means, help us to just be a light to those people and help us just to understand what your plan is for our lives. What is it that you're calling us to do? What talents have you given us to really lean into and make use of right now in this time? Thank you so much for the gift of your son. Thank you that we don't have to continue to rely on other people, other public figures that we see in the world, but instead we know that ultimately they're only shadows of you and your power. And just help us to continue to understand that and to be able to lean on you no matter what comes our way. Be with all the prayer requests in the chat and the ones that I've read off, also the ones on our hearts that we are not able to share, and help us to continue to look forward to heaven and to prepare for it. We love you so much, and we cannot wait to see you soon. In Jesus' name, amen.